Shortsy McShortsington.
I always love these names you give things with a Mick. Mick, you will call me Krabby McCrabbleton or something like that. Yeah. Or now it's Shortsy McShortsington. Hey, you wear shorts in October? That's feels a lot like, of the ordinary.
Feels like July.
I know. It was downright hot yesterday. Wow.
I don't think it's fair we have to look at your legs all morning.
You're in another room.
Jack, my yeah, I'm in, the, right? I'm in the same room as them.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're not going to be my friend. Is that it?
I'm just playing both sides. We'll see what happens. Come later.
Jack's learned whose side to be on.
Doesn't sound like it's mine either.
You know what's going to be happening 1 week from today?
Marathon.
Oh, yes.
Marathon Sunday.
That's right.
Your favorite day.
I stopped to get a cup of coffee because I had an extra $75 to spare. I pop out of the car for a second and run in and get a coffee. And when I come out, there's this big green card on my windshield.
Uh-oh.
No. It's a Chicago Marathon notice.
Oh, okay.
Dear Nate, would you think I got a ticket?
I thought you got a ticket.
Dear. I was parked illegally.
Oh, no.
Take that, City of Chicago.
So,
sticking it to the man, parking illegally.
What does the card say?
Bank of America Chicago Marathon will be held Sunday, October 12th. This notice is informing you of street closures and traffic restrictions during the event. We appreciate you adjusting your schedule to avoid any inconvenience. And then it goes on.
Well, that's a nice thing to do, actually.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
It's got a map. It's got a QR code.
Definitely need to see the map. Of course, that's not going to bother you.
I can't see the map.
You can't?
It's too small.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't think the bifocal has been made that would allow me to. It's tiny.
I should have brought my magnifier.
Yeah, exactly. It won't affect me because I'll be broadcasting from a secret location.
I know you will be. You already mentioned that.
Undisclosed location.
A bunker.
A bunker. Yeah.
I, on the other hand, will be here.
Well, okay.
As is always the case.
Okay. Good. Make sure you wear your shorts so you fit in with all the crowds out there next week.
My running shorts.
Oh, good. Now I'm really glad that I won't be here.
Dean Richards, WTN.
You like this music, Shorty?
Yeah, I do. I do. I heard you and Bob talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
The other day.
We're Swifties. Bob and I are Swifties.
And you were talking about, you know, the massive, you know, PR that comes out with a release like this, or as they say these days, a drop.
Right. That's
a drop.
That is what they say, yeah.
That's what they say.
Dropping music.
They drop it.
You are.
But I remember.
Shawnee's days away from getting a tattoo and some piercing. you're so bohemian.
But I remember, and you do too, Dean.
There is no. Don't even bring up any 60s or 70s artists. Nothing compares to Taylor Swift.
What about when the Beatles released Sgt. Pepper?
No way.
All right.
No way. It did not.
Michael Jackson's Thriller.
No. Nothing. Okay. Nothing. Nothing
compares. That wasn't in the 60s.
Nothing compares to the album in its first, like, 3 hours of release. Was number one in 92 countries on Apple.
Yeah. Okay. Apple Music. Yeah. All right. All right. Yeah.
There's too many ways to get music now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Back in the Beatles day, Michael Jackson, all that, you actually had to go to a store to buy stuff. What's a store, Uncle Dan?
Yeah, boy, they don't know what they're missing.
What's a brick and mortar store?
I'm going to have to come up with a name for your voice when you do that now. You come up with a name for everything for me.
It sounds like a Simpsons character almost.
I know. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
It's inspired by that.
And more like Arnold the Newsboy on the Flintstones,
it's my
actually.
It's my dorky kid voice.
The dorky kid voice.
Yeah, it's my dorky kid voice who doesn't understand anything that happened before
1998.
The year 2019.
2019.
I was talking about this at the TV station the other day of how, you know, Taylor Swift, there's no question that it's a phenomena. I mean, it's amazing how the album has sold. You know that movie? She's got an 89-minute movie.
This is a new movie now. This is not the one that was out a year or two ago.
No, that's the Eras Tour movie.
Okay.
That is so yesterday.
Come on, Shawnee.
That is so last year.
It's so 5 minutes ago.
Whatever. I'm going to take my friendship bracelet back from you. No, there's a new 89-minute movie that's called... Excuse me, okay?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, the newsroom virus is back.
Oh, yeah. Is, all right. That's for sure.
The album, the cinematic experience, if you will, is called Taylor Swift, the official release party of a showgirl. And it's not even... It's not a concert movie. It's a compilation of music video from the new album, interview clips. It's just a promotional video. But it's killing at the box office. It's killing every other movie at the box office this weekend. It's definitely going to be number one.
Do they are there sections where they talk about her and Travis together?
I have not seen it, so I don't know the answer to that question.
And you're the entertainment reporter.
There's no point in me. Do you need me to review this, really? It's Taylor Swift.
Okay.
I love whatever she does, if I know what's good for me.
In your travels and in your...
It's not like it's got a plot. It's not like it's...
No, I know.
Acting.
Yeah.
It's a promotional video.
Yeah. In your travels and in your various places where you've interviewed the big stars, have you ever talked with her?
I never have.
You haven't?
I never have. I'd like to.
I think she would be a very good interview subject.
I do, too.
She's articulate.
She seems very lovely.
Yeah.
And very nice. Yeah. She is extremely articulate. There's no question that she is brilliant. She and her marketing team are redefining how anything is presented and sold in this market. So I think the music is, you know, very pleasant. It's not geared toward an old fart like me. It's for young girls, right?
Yeah.
That's who the target audience is. So, there's something for everybody.
Do you have a copy yet?
It's like what the great Roy Leonard said to me when he was retiring. There's a reason Baskin-Robbins makes 31 flavors. There's something for everyone out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think of that all the time.
That's a very good analogy.
Yeah, exactly. Roy Leonard was a very wise man.
Yes, he was.
He told me something else that I can't share on the air.
Oh, really?
It's a little naughty.
Okay.
It's very un-Roy Leonard-y what he told me. Someday I'll share it.
The air or off the air?
Off the air.
Okay.
Yeah. Off the air. He actually used a bad word.
Really? Yeah. Roy Leonard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really funny, though. I wish I could share it, but it's a little too dirty to share on the air.
Okay.
But it's hilariously funny, especially coming from him.
It would be, yeah.
Because he was, you know, a wise sage like that. Anyway, that's the, so Taylor Swift, the album and the movie. The movie is only out for this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Today's it. If you don't see the movie today, you're not going to get a chance to see it.
I imagine it'll be streamed somewhere, don't you think?
Eventually.
Yeah.
Want to run over to the AMC after the show?
I thought we weren't friends anymore.
The Bears are off this week. I don't think you have an excuse.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
Perfect.
And hey, the Cubs don't play till tomorrow.
Maybe Hamp and OB want to come and join us.
Yeah. I think they'd be in. I'd love OB's review of Taylor Swift.
OB's review on Taylor Swift.
They talk about her all the time.
I've been trying to get him to go review a play.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
He shut it down quick.
He shut that down pretty quick.
No, I don't do that.
Did you really ask him about that?
Mm-hmm.
Jack did. Jack did.
We were both in there, and he's like, would you go see it? He's like, oh, no, I don't
no,
do that.
No, I'm not going to do that. I've got enough on my plate. What the hell are you talking about?
I would love for him to go see this Taylor Swift movie. I can't tell you how uncomfortable it is when I go to review an animated movie, a children's movie, and the audience is almost all kids.
Oh, yeah. Right?
But you're a child at heart.
Yeah, and then not the dirty old man, but the grown adult, usually by himself,
yeah,
shows up. I may as well be wearing a trench coat and sitting there, and people are looking at me like, what's that guy
doing? And you're all the way in the back of the theater.
What is that guy doing here? Creepy. Yeah. So all the way, yeah, we're all going to go see the Taylor Swift movie after the show today.
Okay.
Can't wait for that. That'll be fun. So we have a date for the Tree Time show.
Yes, we do.
Looking forward to seeing everybody out in Lake Barrington. It will be Sunday, November 2nd. We really should call it a Halloween show.
Yeah, or a post-Halloween show.
I don't
show.
Think we've done our Tree Time show this early in
not
the year.
Not that early. We've done it in November, and when we were right before we started the show, we were saying that one year, well, 2016 was right around the time the Cubs won the World Series.
Right.
So that was, you know, the first part of November.
I remember. I remember mm-hmm. we all had Cubs hats on and
right.
our Cubs paraphernalia.
Yep.
Your dad and my mom were there that year.
Yes, they were. Yeah.
I have pictures of all of us together out there.
Yep, yep.
But yeah, so November 2nd, it's a month, less than a month now, and we'll be out there for all the Tree Time goodness, all the fun.
We need the polka band again.
You think?
Oh, yeah. They were a hit.
People do like their polka music.
That was a big hit.
It was a hit, and it's a Chicago institution.
Okay. All right. You don't have to yell at me.
I'm not. I'm just down. Making a point. That's all.
All right. Who doesn't love a nice Who Stole the Kishka at 9 o'clock in the morning?
Exactly.
Some need Taylor Swift. Some want polka.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, if we can get the polka band to do some Taylor Swift music...
Hey, who knows? They might be able to.
That would be awesome. That I would love. We don't have anything planned on the show yet, though. Do you have any suggestions?
Yes, the polka band.
I know we're going to have some live performers. We've got the wheels turning for that.
We had...
we'll have some live performers joining us out there. We had as kind of our house band... Eddie Carosa and the Boys from Illinois.
That's who they are, yeah, okay.
The polka band, so we'll see if...
Illinois.
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 Illinois. Not ill, L.
All right, calm down.
Schwanee's riled up this morning.
You are.
That would be extra good.
Yeah, but that's all we have planned right now. And it's going to be, this will be a little different because that's a Hamp and OB day. We'll be 2 hours from 9 to 11. We'll actually be on the air broadcasting the way God intended. And then from 11 until 1, we'll be online. So you have, if you want to listen to the second 2 hours of the show, I don't know if it's Facebook Live. I'm not sure how or where that is, but we'll find, we'll get all the details on that. But yeah, that will be streaming the second 2 hours of the show.
Well, we've done that before also.
Yeah.
Because of Hamp and OB being on. And I guess November 2nd, is there a noon start, Jack, for the Bears that day, do you know?
Looking at the schedule, it looks like it.
Mm-hmm. Told that Hamp and OB will come on at 11 that day.
For a little preview.
And we'll,
you know what would be awesome? Hmm. To have them come out and do their segment at Tree Time.
Yeah, that will never happen in a million years. If we can't
in front of a live audience?
If we can't get OB to go one block to go see the Taylor Swift movie, he's not going to go all the way out to Lake Barrington. It's too far.
Plus, I think that would be incredible.
They have to be here.
And they could take questions from the audience.
Because they watch the game right after.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Okay. Well, I can bring in my Zenith AccuSonic from 1962. Watch the game there.
630 area code is saying, can we please recreate shooting arrows at Schwanee?
Oh, I'll never forget that day.
That was my archery kick that I was on that one
year. I did not know what was going to happen that day.
Yeah, that's when I I got a little taste of some archery, and I brought it to the Tree Time show and shot some arrows at a giant poster of Schwanee.
Well, you were in Scotland, I think, yeah. Right before, and yeah. There was some Robin Hood movie or something.
Yeah, I don't even remember the name of the movie, but they had archery for us, and I was actually really good at it for some reason. I don't know why.
You weren't very good that day.
I shot an arrow into your head, I think.
Yeah, you did. Mission right through my right cheek.
Mission accomplished.
I still have the picture.
Of course you do.
I'll bring it.
Well, we have to come up. If anybody's got any ideas of things that they would like us to do at the Tree Time show, you know, we're up for suggestions. But mark that on your social calendars, ladies and gentlemen.
Sunday, November 2nd.
Please come and join us.
We've had people that have come every year. It's always a pleasure to see them again.
Yeah, people line up early. They get out. I mean, the show doesn't go on until 9. I don't even think the store opens until 9 o'clock, but people get there early and they line up outside, and it's always standing room only, so it's always...
Yeah, in fact, by 9 o'clock or 9:30, it's been standing room only past couple of years.
Yeah, tons of fun, though. We have a great time. We have food. Sunday, November the 2nd, from 9 to 1 o'clock out at Tree Time in Lake Barrington. Pepper Road, is that what it is?
Pepper Road, yes, sir.
Okay, all right. Anything else?
Well, I've got a newscast in a minute and a half.
All right, well, let's do this then. Chicago's very own WGN. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for America's favorite, the far-flung forecast. And here's Dave Schwann.
Well, thank you very much for that elaborate and very gracious introduction.
Yeah, I told you we have a problem with music.
Yes.
There's a whole thing with music. So we're like retooling the show without some of the musical elements.
Oh. Well, at any rate, thank you so much.
Wait, I think I can get away with this.
Ta-da!
Okay, you can do that.
That allowed?
Okay, that'll work.
Do we also I think you're in the clear. Right? I think you're good.
That'll work.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
Here's the far-flung forecast.
Thank you so much,
Ta-da!
Dean.
Ta-da!
And folks, get out your compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices, because we head today to far, and I mean far southwest, Missouri.
Missouri?
Or do you say Missouri?
I say Missouri.
You say Missouri. All right, we'll go with that. Carthage, Missouri. Oh,
Carthage,
Missouri. Not all that far from Joplin, Missouri, actually. And a town on the Route 66, by the way. Carthage settled in 1841. Today it has a population of just over 15,000. And actually, we bring up Carthage today because this follows right in line with what we were kind of discussing at the last time at this week. You were making fun of me because I was talking about courthouses and everything else. If you
I
recall.
Was making fun of you?
Yes, you were making
that
fun of me.
That doesn't sound like me.
We talked about...
I bet that was John Hansen.
We were talking... No, it wasn't John Hansen.
John Hansen, he's got a... He's got a wicked sense of humor.
John and I are good friends.
Okay.
So may I continue?
I hope you go on a vacation
before I was
together.
Interrupted. No, we were talking last week about the courthouse in Dayton, Tennessee, where the Scopes trial took place. Okay. And then also a courthouse in the town we featured last week, Mariposa, California. Carthage, Missouri has a courthouse that was built in the mid-1890s, and it is a beautiful building. It's the Jasper County Courthouse, actually rebuilt in the 1890s because in the 1860s, it was burned during the Civil War.
Hmm.
So the courthouse there is a gorgeous building with an elevator inside still operated by hand, by a person. Yep.
Elevator operator.
Yep. But Carthage, Missouri, southwest Missouri, just before you get into Kansas, and on Route 66, has sunny skies and 72 right now.
Do you do this feature when I'm not here and John Hansen is filling in?
I do it every week, whether you're here or not, yes. And?
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Do you like it better when I'm not here? Is it more enjoyable for you to do when I'm
No,
here?
I enjoy doing it here with you. There have been some folks that...
In other words, you like me more than John Hansen.
Well, you are really putting me up against the wall.
In other words, you don't really like John Hansen.
I didn't say that at all.
That's what I'm hearing.
I did. Oh, really? From
Jack,
who?
Jack, what are you hearing?
I don't know if you went that far.
I think he did.
Oh, man. All right. Well, as I say, Carthage, Missouri, sunny skies, a little bit of windy on the windy side there, because they're not far from the plains of Kansas. 72 degrees in Carthage, Missouri today.
All right, Chwani, it's time to put your baseball cap on backwards.
Oh, I forgot to bring my baseball cap
today.
So
we can talk about the Cubs. I noticed that producer Eli and Jack, who normally wear their baseball caps backwards, both have them on brim side front today.
Jack doesn't now.
I just flipped it when you said we're turning them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Very good.
Ready for the sports talk.
Yeah. Well, I just want to, should we be worried about the Brewers tomorrow night?
Yeah.
That was
they were the best team in baseball, and then that was a pretty big beatdown yesterday.
Big time, yeah.
And, I mean, it started off really good. Leadoff homer for Michael Busch, and the Cubs have struggled against Freddie Peralta, the Brewers starter, for a few years now, and they got a run on him, so you're like, okay, you're feeling good, and then they just came out swinging three straight doubles, and it was kind of, after that, it was kind of over.
Yeah, big time. Big
yeah. Time. So it's nice to get the off day, because they got the off day Friday, they have an off day today, and they just spent the whole bullpen in that wild card series. So hopefully...
Didn't the Brewers, they had like a week off or something?
Yeah, so the top two seeds, the Brewers and the Phillies, had a week off because they were the top two records. So that's the new playoff format in the last 5 years with the wild card round. had them get that week off. And the first few years, the teams that had the week off were losing in the first round, but the Brewers looked pretty good yesterday. The Phillies, who had the week off, they lost to the Dodgers yesterday. So we'll see how it goes. The Brewers were the best team in baseball this year, and look like they're not missing Craig Counsell that much, but the Cubs have done a good job bouncing back after bad losses this year. So
what's going to happen? Predict.
Predict?
Predict, my friend.
For some reason, I feel like...
When Andy was here, when Andy Mazur was here, and he would predict, whatever Andy said, go the opposite.
Okay, so I'm going to say the Brewers are going to win, so the Cubs win.
So you think the Cubs... You think, realistically, the Cubs...
I feel like they can win Monday. And really, you're looking for a split when you start on the road in those first two games. And if they're able to split it, then they win the two at home. Then you don't have to go back to Milwaukee. So that's got to be the plan. And then there's another off day Tuesday, so Craig Counsell can manage aggressively. But for some reason, I'm feeling okay about...
You're feeling Cubsy.
Feeling Cubsy. I like that.
Okay.
Just like Schwani is.
Schwani, you got any sports questions?
I'm feeling Cubsy also. I think it's fine. And they are going to win.
There we go.
They are going to win. What's the old saying? The power of positive thinking.
That's right.
Yep.
Got to flip the vibes.
What are you laughing at?
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm just trying to be
positive
and enthusiastic and upbeat about our team.
All right. Well, we can talk more about it when we go see the Taylor Swift movie after the show today.
Dean Richards on a Windy City weekend.
One of the great television theme songs of all time from one of the great television shows of all time, Cheers, and one of Chicago's very own, about to be honored in his neighborhood of Beverly. His signature entrance into the bar Cheers. Well, we lost George Wendt about 6 months ago. And there is going to be a street sign dedication for George Wendt in his neighborhood on the south side of Chicago in the Beverly neighborhood at the corner of 92nd Place and South Bell Avenue. Isn't that nice, Schwani? I think it's nice.
It's great.
When they do stuff like that.
I must admit, I never knew he was from of the area until his passing, when all of the biographical material came out.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Diehard Southside.
Yeah,
whenever he would come to town. Two Sundays from today, Sunday, October 19th, following an 11 a.m. memorial mass at Christ the King Church in Beverly, there will be a street sign unveiling, a dedication, on the block where George Wendt grew up. It will be proclaimed George Wendt Way. And that'll be at 12:15 on October the 19th, 92nd Place and South Bell Avenue. Oh, that's nice.
I imagine some of the people from, remaining members of Cheers might attend.
I am hearing that not only former cast members, but friends... Other Chicagoans, like Jim Belushi and Tim Meadows.
Sure, yeah.
Some of his other comedian buddies. I won't mention names because things are not exactly quite confirmed yet, but I am told that it's going to be quite a turnout. But the public is invited also. Again, Sunday, October 19th. 92nd Place in South Bell Avenue. Great to go there for the street sign dedication, but you know what else? Original Rainbow Ice Cream is right, like two blocks away from there.
Have to go there.
Come for the memorial, stay for the ice cream.
Stay for the ice cream. Did you know that George Wendt had an appearance on MASH?
No.
He was on MASH.
Really?
He was in an episode of MASH. We played a soldier who apparently was involved in a pool game, a game of pool, and got a pool ball stuck in his mouth. And Winchester, Charles Emerson Winchester, was the attending physician and was just really making fun of him.
He had to do a pool ballectomy.
Yeah, pool ballectomy. But I watched that episode. And I said, "That's George Wendt."
I never knew that.
Yeah,
I always like when I see people who have gone on to other things in the early parts of their careers. Where did I see Jason Alexander? The heck was
in that? Something before Seinfeld?
Yeah. What the heck was I watching? I watched so many stupid shows that I can't remember where I saw them. But it was some 80s sitcom. And there's Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
Appearing. I love that.
I do too. I do too. Like yeah.
And Twilight Zone, forget
it. Oh. The late Robert Redford.
Forget it.
In one of the most memorable of Twilight Zone episodes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jack Nicholson was on Twilight Zone.
He was in Andy Griffith, too.
Burgess Meredith.
Had to get that in there.
Jack Nicholson?
On Andy Griffith, yes.
What was he on Andy Griffith?
And
how do I not know this?
Well, it was.
Andy Griffith's show?
It was in one of the later ones that were in color. Yeah, he was in a couple of them, actually. Oh,
well, that's why I don't know, because those
those
are
you don't watch those.
Those
yeah.
are the junkie episodes.
They didn't have the charm of the.
I like the black and whites.
Yeah,
they're much funnier.
Yeah,
I'll bet Don Knotts wasn't. If it was in color, Don Knotts probably.
He was only in a couple. That was after he left the show. Yeah, on a regular basis.
That obnoxious Warren.
Oh.
Was that his name, Warren?
Yeah, lasted for one season, and then for the rest of the duration of the show, Andy was just by himself.
Andy was by himself with the guy with the fix-it shop, because Floyd the barber.
Floyd was gone.
And Goober had way too much. Goober and Howard Sprague had way, way, way too much.
Here we are analyzing Andy Griffith again.
Oh, my gosh. Is Jack all right? I always
no worry about the eyes have rolled back in the head and he's leaning way back in his chair.
What did you say?
I always worry about Jack when we start talking about Andy Griffith.
I remember Schwani put me through an Andy Griffith test when I first became your producer and I failed spectacularly.
<That's right. laughs>
I would have it no other way.
We didn't test Eli.
Uh oh. Sorry, Eli.
We didn't do a test with Eli.
Come on, Jack.
I think we've already filled our Andy Griffith quota for today.
For today, we have, yes.
Let's pace ourselves. We've got a full 4 hours out of tree time. Let's do something Andy Griffith related at tree time.
Okay.
What could that be?
We could recreate the Christmas show and have Ben come in, and he was all bah humbug and.
The curmudgeon-y store?
Right. Yeah, the store owner.
Who plays him? Me?
Of course.
Okay.
Well, you always like to do the line with Mr. Potter.
Yeah.
Happy New Year!
To you in jail.
In jail!
Yeah, that's my favorite line. I'm up for that. I'm up for any crotchety old man.
Uh-huh. Role.
Yeah. Any cranky old man I like to play. Stereotypically written for me. So it's October the 5th, and it's a pretty big anniversary of something that happened here in Chicago in 1979, where a million people got together in Grant Park.
Yes.
For the open mass held by Pope John Paul II. Remember that?
I certainly do.
His visit to Chicago. Catholic or not, was amazing. It was amazing. But I was looking at some videos this morning of the actual service that they held in Grant Park. And it's stunning. It's stunning that a million people came downtown for this mass. And remember they built that huge altar stage, white and gold, right in the middle of Grant Park.
Yep. This was at is now the Petrillo Music Show. Yeah. And this was before Millennium Park thought of.
Before any of that stuff.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of what that sounded like. October 5th, 1979, Pope John Paul II in Grant Park holding an open-air mass in Grant Park. It was stunning. I remember, Swanee, I don't know if the years we were at WFYR, I think at different times, right?
We were, yes. And that was before I was in Chicago, a couple of years before I was here. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't here yet.
Okay. Well, I was at WFYR, Fire Radio.
Chicago's warmest rock.
Chicago's on fire. and we were in the Prudential Building. The old.
Oh, you could look right down on
it. The original Prudential Building.
That was a beautiful view of Grant Park.
We were looking right down on His Holiness. From the windows.
Yeah, absolutely. I know right where you were, too.
I think we're on the 23rd floor.
23rd floor, yes. Yeah.
Man, that was something.
Yeah. You know, what else was amazing also during that visit was his trip through some Chicago neighborhoods. Yeah. Remember how?
On the Northwest
side.
Yeah.
And, you know, in an open-air car, I might add.
Right.
I have to say this, Dean. I have thought that at some point, Pope Leo, at some point, may well be here to come back to visit Chicago.
That would be fantastic, right?
Yes.
If he, you know, came and did something similar?
Yes. Yes.
Because heaven knows we could use a little... of the Lord in Grant Park these days and in the city of Chicago.
Well, if there was an open air, I would presume that, you know, it might be at now the Pritzker Pavilion, you know, in Millennium Park.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
More people, much more easy to accommodate a million people there than...
I can't think of any place else where...
Mm-mm.
Soldier Field? I don't know.
Soldier Field, yes.
I don't know. I'd like it out in the public someplace where.
Right, right.
Because as I'm watching this and seeing the skyline of the city of Chicago, you can't help but think of the contrast between then and what's going on in the city of Chicago now and how we could use a little love and peace and the words of God all over the country right now, but especially here in Chicago right now. So. I say
thank you for bringing that up.
As many people as possible that can see it would.
Thank you for bringing up the, you know, the visit that was you know, October 5th, 1979.
Yeah. Yep. Swanee and I were just baby broadcasters back then. I didn't have a full head of hair, but I had way
you
more
had
than
some.
I had some.
Rain, interestingly enough.
If it means you'll put long pants back on, I'm all for it.
Okay, I will.
Just to paint a picture for the listeners, Swanee's in little Daisy Dukes today.
No way in Daisy Dukes.
Yeah, whatever.
But it will be.
I just feel sorry for poor Jack. He's in the room right next to you. At least I'm down the hall and I can turn the monitor off.
I'm surprised he hasn't installed a shade on the window there by the door so he could close it.
I don't know if the shorts are bothering me more or the black socks and Birkenstocks.
That's a look. I rock that sometimes. Not the black socks, but like white socks. Yeah. Walking out of the gym.
With the sandals on?
With the Birks on, yeah.
With the Birks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm trendy.
You are.
You're show, all snazzy.
This show stinks of trendy.
Yeah, it does.
Just stinks of what?
I don't like wearing socks with sandals. Especially the black ones, the knee-high black ones that you're wearing, Swanee.
The ones that right up to my kneecap?
They come right into the kneecap.
And then the shorts just above the knee.
I know you're supposed to wear compression socks, but that's a whole
Hey, I think
thing.
The time is coming, believe me.
Yeah, believe me.
Just got over the worst case of sciatica I ever had.
Oh, that's not good.
Oh, that was horrible.
That's not good.
Horrible.
So we'll get to the theater segment in just a second here. And the stars of Lion King, currently in Chicago. I just wanted to read a couple of texts because we mentioned earlier that we have set a date for our Tree Time show this year. It's going to be Sunday, November 2nd, out of Tree Time on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. And every year we try to come up with some new entertaining things to do out there.
No, it's ways to hurt me is what it is.
Well, if that should happen in the course of doing entertaining things.
Never, go ahead.
I've never hurt you.
No.
Yet.
That's what I'm saying.
I'd like to, I like the eating demonstrations that we do. Like the year that we had.
The bugs?
We
tasted the bugs.
We ate bugs.
I had indigestion for a week.
Were you there the year that we'd had the parts of a turkey that are unmentionable?
Yes.
Deep fried?
Yes.
What is it called? Turkey?
You know what they're called.
No. I mean, there's a nice name for it.
Turkey parts.
Turkey parts. Turkey fries?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. You know what we all mean, though. We had those. Those were tasty, weren't they?
Sure they were.
We had karaoke one year. That was fun.
That was good. Yeah.
Karaoke was fun. The polka band. That's
got to have them back.
Well, we'll see if they're available. We'll see if they're available. Live entertainment. We definitely will have some live entertainment out there. But people are here. Here's some things they're suggesting. 440 area code. A Christmas tree decorating contest.
I just read that.
Between
Jack
Dean
was
and
showing me that. That would be cool.
Yeah, except this is radio.
I know. But if we're going to put this up on the stream, why?
Okay, all right.
Well, we could be video with it.
Yeah, because the first 2 hours of the show will be radio.
Right.
Regular radio.
Right.
And the second,
as you say, the way God intended.
The way God intended. And the second two will be online somehow. I'm not sure on which. It's Facebook or YouTube or whatever. Also, I'm not sure, because when we did this online in the past, we didn't have any commercial breaks, and I was forced to, like, you know, do the show without breaks.
To be a broadcaster.
Yeah, I need a break.
That's right, we did. That was a long stretch.
This just doesn't come out, like, continuously. This is not a water flow. We got to stop and regroup for a minute. So we got to work that out.
Always have to have a Q&A session with the audience.
We always like the Q&A session. But also, somebody was asking, since we're going to be doing the two of the hours of the show online, does that mean Schwani will be swearing up a storm? Because we won't be on the air. That's up to you. Schwani, that's entirely up to you.
No. Don't plan on that. Won't happen. I like the idea of a tree decorating thing, though.
You know, if we can combine the tree decorating with the swearing. That's Christmas at my house. Yeah. That's when Dad couldn't untangle the Christmas lights.
I was going to say, when things go wrong and you're trying to decorate, there's a lot of that combination.
Right. That's when the dog is eating the tinsel. And there could be a lot of decorating and swearing going on at the same time. Let me see. Oh, you know what I forgot? What, that we did at Tree Time? I married somebody out there one year.
We had a wedding.
Yeah. Schwani was the best man.
I was the best man.
Yeah.
That was great.
I can do that again. I'm my
officiating. You are now, that hasn't expired.
No, I don't think it expires.
You don't have to reapply for that.
I could marry anybody at a moment's notice. Bring somebody in here right now. I'll marry somebody right now. Jack, you want to get married to anybody?
Not right now, no. Okay. Maybe Eli does.
Eli, you want to get married to anybody?
I think I'm a little young.
All right. Schwani, you're definitely not too young.
No, I'm not.
Jeez.
Let me see here. Somebody's suggesting we do stupid pet tricks.
a la David Letterman.
I like that idea.
Okay.
But that's also visual, though.
Yeah, it is.
That would have to be in the online
And we'd have to get, you know, we'd have to get the animals in.
And are we allowed to have animals
inside? Probably not, yeah.
Not sure if we want dogs around that many trees.
One thing that could be a problem.
One thing could happen. There's a lot of trees out there that I don't think the tree time people would enjoy. And plus, this is a true story. When I had my dog, my white German Shepherd, Lucy, she loved eating the tinsel off the Christmas tree.
Oh, seriously? Really?
Seriously.
You would just grab a mouthful of tinsel?
She would grab a mouthful of it and eat it. I'd come home from work, and like the whole bottom of the tree was naked.
Dismantled.
Because she ate all the tinsel off of it. And then I spent the rest of the day, well, you know, the digestive system and how it works. trying to clear that up.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea of stupid pet tricks, except that it's kind of visual.
Well, we could go outside. I mean, especially on a day like today.
Right.
We could do it outside.
And what would we do outside?
Have the pet tricks, perform.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. Someone is saying to do a Christmas trivia contest. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
That would be fun.
Bring up some Christmas trivia from various TV shows that we talk about all the time on the program.
Now, I don't know what this means. 630 area code texted in, Schwanee and my wife.
What about that?
You tell me.
I know.
I think you've got some explaining to do. All right. So that's that. Entertainment for the tree time. Here's an idea. 708 area code. Shoot Dean Richards out of a cannon.
We're getting somewhere.
Might also be visual, though.
I could see you just being blasted out, arms out like Superman, just like you were trying to reenact your jumping off the roof
of
your garage.
Right.
Convinced that you could fly.
Now, here's an idea. This one may actually work. 847 area code. Have a WGN's Got Talent. A talent show.
Hey.
Let's do a talent.
I like that.
Let's do a talent show for valuable prizes.
I like that.
You show up at tree time, and we give you, you know, a few minutes to be entertaining.
WGN's Got Talent. Yeah.
Okay, now we're
very good idea.
Now we go. Now we're working. 262 area code. There should be some sort of drinking game that you can invent.
We'll save that for the.
I don't even need to read on. I like it already. some kind of drinking game you could invent for decorating trees. The more cocktails, the better. I like it.
Can you imagine what we're going to sound like by 1 o'clock?
Name that Christmas tune, says someone else.
That could be fun, too.
That could be fun.
All right.
We can't play music anymore, though.
Do it on the hour you're not on.
Doing the what?
Play the music when you're not on the air.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Maybe that's a way to get around it.
And then announce the winners.
Sounds very entertaining for the listeners at home.
No music, but we'll announce the winners.
So far, everything we've come up with excludes the listeners at home. It sounds perfect.
Except for the talent, though.
Sounds perfect to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got some ideas here. Maybe you and I can recreate a scene from The Lion King.
From The Lion King?
Yeah, from the musical Lion King. It's in Chicago now. We talked with the stars of the show, who play Simba and Mufasa. We'll share that with you next. WGN Weekend Theater segment sponsored by Lyric Opera of Chicago. And today we celebrate one of the most popular stage musicals of all time that was a movie, became a stage musical, has just had so many lives and now is back in Chicago. The Lion King is at the Cadillac Palace Theater until October the 19th. And over on the WGN TV Midday News the other day, I sat down with two of its stars, Gilbert Domely, who plays Simba in the show, and David Delancey Wilson plays his father, Mufasa. What was it like to take on these iconic roles?
I feel like it's hard to find words, but it's such a joy. It's such a joy.
Yeah, same for you?
Yeah. It's also an honor, like, you know, to play a role where for some audience members, it's the first time that they're seeing, you know, a positive father figure. I think it's nothing short of an honor.
Yeah, and these are, Simba and Mufasa in particular, are such iconic roles. How do you take that and make it your own, make it something special for yourself when there have been so many other, you know, fantastic depictions through the years?
What I love about this company and this creative team, they really encourage you to do that, to take it and make it your own. And with this role, Simba specifically, it's a lot about self-discovery. And so I feel like it's easy to just go on that journey because you're doing that in real life. So we can bring our life experience to these roles. Yeah. And I think that's what makes it special for each person who's able to have the opportunity to do this.
Yeah, I'm reliving it all just seeing this video. I've seen the show many times. Both here in Chicago and on Broadway, and it gives me goosebumps every time.
Yeah.
It's such a positive story. I guess that's part of the universal appeal, isn't it, all over the world? No matter where you go in the world, Lion King is a hit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been running for about, 23 years, with over 10 million people that have come and seen the show. So the unique perspective that we provide is something I think that is unique about the show in general, because so many people have seen it and it's played in so many different parts of the world. You get a different show every time you watch it. That's really the beauty of live theater. Right? So,
yeah, what's it like? You both have been in other productions of Lion King elsewhere. Mm-hmm. What's it like to move this show? I mean, we can see from this video there are lots of moving parts, costumes and. I even hesitate to call it puppetry because it's so big, but just here are the costumes that we're looking at, and you know what it takes to prepare each of you to go on stage. What's that like? It must be madness backstage, is it?
Well, you know what's funny is it's very everything's very timed, so you need to be where you need to be because it moves like a machine, and everyone's doing their part, and there's a massive team backstage that you don't see that are helping bring this to life. This, you know, the makeup, the lighting, the crew. It takes a village really to put this show on because it's so big and it's such a spectacle. So you've got to have that team behind you.
Well, look at this. I mean, look at these. I mean, all that's being done backstage.
Oh yeah.
While we're watching, you know, you on stage singing "Circle of Life," "Can You Feel the Love," or you know, whatever. All of this is being put together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look at this. Well, I mean, that's absolutely amazing to see all that put together like that.
Yeah, I feel like there's just as much of a show happening backstage absolutely. As there is on stage.
Yeah.
It's very, very fascinating.
Gilbert, talk to me a little about your Chicago connections. You spent quite a bit of time here. Theater, school, right? I mean, it's
I've spent
kind
so
of
much,
welcome home for you. Right?
Yes, it feels like a homecoming. I went to Roosevelt University right downtown, CCPA, College of Performing Arts. I did a lot of theater here in my time. I just did Hairspray. I did The Color Purple, which just...
At the Goodman.
At the Goodman, the Jeffs were last night, so we got a couple of winners there, so that was exciting.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of time here. It's been my home away from home.
What do you think that means, then? The you know, what Chicago audiences provide back to performers and directors, you know, and how we support our theater community here in Chicago.
Oh, it's like none other. The audiences come back. What's funny because you'll have someone who will have literally seen me in every show that I've done. You know, they'll come and like, oh my God, I saw you in Choir Boy, or I saw you in Madagascar in Chicago Shakes, and I'm like, really? Like the audiences really are following these shows. They come back again and again and again, and they definitely have to come back and see The Lion King because it is. incredible. And I'm in it.
Yeah, that's incredible. First thing he said when he sat down, I was like, what's going on with the Uptown Theater? It's like, I love that you even know that.
This is my home.
That is something that we're working on, getting that theater back open again.
Yeah.
Production of The Lion King is at the Cadillac Palace Theater, October the 3rd through the 19th. You can get more information at BroadwayInChicago.com. Gilbert and David, thank you so much for coming in today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, Thanks for having us. Such a pleasure.
That's awesome. Our pleasure to have you here today.
All right. And next week is the Chicago Marathon, next Sunday. I will be broadcasting from a secret, undisclosed location, bunker, as Jack called it earlier. Secret location.
I'll be here on duty, though.
Yeah. Well, you're supposed to be.
That's right.
You've got a newsroom to run.
That's right.
As we've heard over and over and over and over again.
I would just like to thank the NFL for having the Bears play Monday so we don't have to come down here.
Oh.
Ah, very good observation.
So you don't have to be here either?
No, I think Andy's handling it. He might be...
He'll be from the bunker, too.
Yeah, he might be with you.
I'll be with you, Shwani.
There you go.
Yeah, I knew I'd have a friend. I've got some friend in here.
Eli, you want to come to the bunker with us and just leave Shwani down here solo?
I mean, if there's an invite on the table.
You got to check out the bunker.
Those street closures are pretty rough.
I've never been invited.
No, you have not.
I've never been invited.
Nope. And?
It's just going to stay that way, I guess.
There's going to be all kinds of closures. It's going to be insane. And that's why we'll be in the secret bunker next week doing the show. But Shwani can give us all the details of how great it is to try to get into the building next week. But if you want to get...
Oh, it's not... The problem is not getting in. The problem is leaving.
Is leaving.
Yeah.
Right. Because you get here so early, you're probably before the closures, right?
Well, I have a job to do.
Right. Exactly. No parking will be allowed on the Chicago Marathon course. Towing of vehicles on the course will begin at 1 a.m. Sunday, October 12th. Streets in your neighborhood may be closed to traffic starting at 6 a.m., continuing to 4 p.m. that day as 53,000 participants pass through the area. If you want to get more information, go to chicagomarathon.com.
So there you go. They have a bigger map there that you.
Yeah, I was just looking at it
on the online.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the one on this little.
It's chicagomarathon.com?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You can't see anything on this little card that they sent me. They have a QR code on it, though. I'm going to QR code it and see what comes up during the break.
Okay.
So I'll know what I won't have to deal with, but you will.
Well, let me know. Well, you won't tell me.
That'll give me more enjoyment to know that I'm enjoying that you're not.
Dean Richards, WGN.
How about it, Shwani? One of the greatest TV shows of all time, would you agree?
I would. Yes.
The Honeymooners with Jackie Gleason. Debuted on this day in 1951.
51?
How about that?
Wow. Now, you know, the reason some of the older ones look really, really, really fuzzy and grainy is because they were transferred via kinescope.
Right.
Jack, do you know what a kinescope is?
Oh, boy, here we go.
No.
Don't you have a relic? I thought you said you had one at...
What are you talking about?
Your apartment.
Me?
No, me. Jack.
I think I got to bring that in the second trip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Well, let's start off here with Jack.
I'm sorry. I went off track here, and you were going to talk about other things.
Well,
much more relevant to the Honeymooners.
No. It's the anniversary of the debut of the Honeymooners.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big deal. But here, since you brought Jack into it, who may be 1 or 2 years younger than you and I.
Just a few.
Certainly younger than you.
Do you know who Jack... Do you know who Jackie Gleason is?
I don't.
Shwani? Get the smelling salts.
You ran into this before.
Get me the smelling salts.
Weren't you talking to some young folks that didn't know who Jackie Gleason was a while back? You all right in there?
Probably. It's just shocking to me that you don't even know who he is.
Do you know who Art Carney is?
No.
He doesn't know the... Okay.
Audrey Meadows?
It's okay. I mean, it's it was before you and I were born, Shawnee. So.
I know.
But this, it's a...
No, I know.
It's a television show that ran one of the first, right? One of the first,
I would say, a pioneering sitcom show. Of all time. Sure, yeah.
It's been in reruns ever since then. And Jackie Gleason was just one of the most classic comedians, actors ever. Let's just say that.
You know what's amazing is that there was very little rehearsal for those shows.
Yeah, Gleason didn't like to rehearse. He didn't like to rehearse.
They were live. They didn't know what was going to happen.
Oh, these shows are so funny. All these years later, all these decades, generations later, and you watch these honeymooner shows, and they are...
They're still hilarious.
Rip-roaringly, hilariously funny. Hilariously funny. So,
well, one of the reasons why is that... Art Carney and Jackie Gleason just played off each other so great.
They were so great. So great together. Honeymooners debuted on this day in 1951. And Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
There's a contrast.
Debuted on this day in 1969 on the BBC.
69?
Yeah.
The debut? I remember the movie coming out in the mid-70s.
Let's check our jackometer on this. Do you know who Monty Python is, Jack? It's okay if you don't.
I've heard. Like, not really, but I've heard of it.
I'm going to take that as a no.
Yeah. You go into the movie realm or...
They started on television.
Our television realm, it gets a little thin for me quick.
Producer Eli?
I've seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's as far as...
Actually, you know what? It was Monty Python and the Flying Circus. That was the original TV show.
Right. Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Holy Grail was the movie that came out later on.
That's as far as my knowledge on it goes.
But it's basically the same thing. It's just this silly British comedy troupe. Hilariously funny. But how about that? 1969.
Yeah. Now well over 50 years.
Shawnee, you are old. I don't remember it either. Just so I can hang in the Jack and Eli.
Hey, you know what?
I don't know what it is.
You said that the Honeymooners debuted in 1951.
Yeah.
That's going to be 75 years next year.
How about that? And still hilariously funny.
And still very funny. Yes.
That's the deal.
Yep.
All right. We're going to get to our A-list interview for today. We've got a kind of a twofer. We have actor Channing Tatum and Kirsten Dunst, who star in a new movie called Roof Man that opens next week. I'm going to tell you all about it next. WGN. It's time to get to our Dean's List, A-List interview for today. And it is with the stars of a movie that will be opening next Friday called Roof Man. It is a comedy, but also a biography about a guy named Jeffrey Manchester, who is a former U.S. Army Reserve officer. He breaks into businesses by hacking open the roofs of these businesses, dropping down into the businesses, stealing whatever he wants, and then taking off. Eventually, he gets caught and goes to prison, but escapes from prison and winds up breaking through the ceiling of a Toys R Us store and living in the Toys R Us store for a pretty long period of time, in which he meets interesting people, most notably a woman that he is very interested in, played by Kirsten Dunst. Channing Tatum is great in this movie. This is a really very charming, charming film based on a true story of this guy, Jeffrey Manchester. I talked with Channing and Kirsten on a Zoom and asked them about playing a real person as opposed to a fictional role.
What's it like playing real-life characters as opposed to fictionalized characters, Kirsten?
Well, for me, she's not someone that you know what I mean? So it wasn't that pressure of like a voice, someone, the way someone walks. And I looked her up as soon as I read the script and I couldn't really find much. And then Derek had a long conversation with Lee, and then I kind of got to know her through that, and she came to set. But really what impressed me and had the biggest impact on me is the grace she had towards Jeff and what had happened and the real love that they both felt for each other. And that, you know, even though it all ended, they still have communication. They still care deeply for each other. It's just like a beautiful, real connection.
Yeah, it was very, very sweet. Channing, how about for you? Did you have any communication at all with the real Jeff?
Yeah, I talked to him like almost every day for a couple months, maybe a little more than that. And, you know, he can only call you. You only get 15 minutes. You can't call him. And I was scared to call him or to talk to him for the very first time because I had no idea who was going to be on the other end of that phone. I mean, he's been in there for a very, very long time. And I did not Google anything. I read the script and I talked to Derek. And this is before I talked to anybody that was actually in the real story. There's a ton of people in the movie that are from the actual real experiences. Like the guy that I think you've seen the end of the movie, the guy that drives the truck in prison is the actual guy that drove the truck that Jeff escaped in. You know, and that was all great to be able to talk to them, but really talking to Jeff gave me all the sort of insight that I needed. I mean, I had no idea that I was going to get this like optimistic, warm, very like engaging, charismatic guy. He kind of takes care of you on the phone rather than me giving him any comfort, you know, from the outside of, you know, a prison. And he just, I don't know, he was very, very wise. Obviously, he's had a long time to think about all the things that, you know, he's done and all the decisions that he made. And it's scary to play somebody that you know is going to watch this thing. But I prepared him. I was like, look, you're going to see this movie and I'm not going to be you. Like, you know, it's just not how, even biopics or whatever, which this is not a biopic in my opinion, you know, and it's never the person, you know, you can't tell somebody's real true story in 90 minutes. It's just not.
Yeah, exactly. Did he inspire your naked scene, your naked butt scene? That's one that people are going to be talking about.
I do know that this is something, yes, that happened. But I don't know if he inspired exactly other than he did it. But yeah, I don't know. I always expect to read a script and there's some naked scene of me in the script that I'm reading. So I figure people are getting tired of seeing it.
I wasn't like, whoa, Channing's naked. The only thing I thought was, oh my God, I was so impressed. He climbed the wall with all the I was like, how do you do that? And so,
yeah, how do you prepare for something like that, Channing?
He just does it.
You just do it, man. There's not, you got to rip the band-aid, if you know what I mean. Like, we got it. And you know, oddly, I didn't talk to Derek very much about this scene. I should have, because I got there and I'm like, how are we going to shoot this? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Like, you don't know how we're going to shoot this?
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
So we're going to cut here. And he's like, no, we're going to do it in like a oneer. And I'm like, we're not doing this in a oneer. There's no way we can do it in a oneer. You're gonna see something regardless either way. And he's like, oh no, we'll figure it out. And we did that scene so many times because yes, it was a messy scene and I'm sure they had to paint stuff out and do whatever they had to do movie magic wise. So yeah, it was a crazy scene.
Yeah, that's just one of the moments that people will be talking about in this new movie. It's called Roof Man. It's really a very charming film. It opens next Friday, so we'll be telling you much more about it as we get closer to the opening date. But it's a story of the ingenuity of this guy, Jeffrey Manchester, who hides and lives in a Toys R Us store behind – sort of behind a fake wall. He sets up this elaborate setup to live in. He comes out when the store is closed because he broke into the store through the ceiling. He's able to get in and out through the ceiling as well. And Channing Tatum is like perfectly charming in this movie. And Kirsten Dunst is plays an employee in the store, of the store, and he kind of develops a relationship with her. Peter Dinklage is great in the movie as well. It's one that I will be recommending to you. It's funny, it's thoughtful, and the fact that the whole thing is a true story is makes it, I think, extra compelling. Roof Man is the name of it all. We'll tell you much more about that. While we're talking movies here for a second, as we have all predicted, the Taylor Swift movie that opened on Friday. It opened on Friday, and it's going to close today. It's only in theaters Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Her Showgirl experience, 89-minute movie, a promotional movie, I guess you might say, for her new album, is a far and away winner at the box office, taking in $33 million. After that, it is Leonardo DiCaprio's One Battle After Another, and Dwayne Johnson's new movie, which I liked very much, called Smashing Machine, is opening in third place to only $6 million. That's the worst opening ever for a Dwayne The Rock Johnson movie. It's much more dramatic. I guess people like their rock in complete action mode.